Actually going to start this verse with, or this class, with Hebrews 4:12. Does anybody know what that says? Hey, amen. Keep going, Mike. There you go. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it's a critic of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, that's important to know because as we have seen, evil can be expressed in thought, speech, or actions. And so where do things get started? Because they start in our thinking. And the Word of God is able to judge our thoughts and our motives, the intentions of the heart, which is the center of our being, the center of activity. But it divides asunder the soul and the spirit. See, we are body, soul, and spirit. That's what we are. That's who we are. But it even makes distinctions between the soul and the spirit. The Word of God does. And we need to pay attention to such details as that. So we're going to take a look at the way the world views things. We're going to do some comparisons today. And we're going to have, they're just going to be in generalities. If you want to dig deeper, there's a lot of ways to dig deeper. This book, Understanding the Times, I've really liked it. It comes out of Summit Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And a lot of you have it already. If you don't have it and would like to get it, let me know, and I'll be sure that you get one. But it gives a general outline. Now, it's not going to explore it in the depth that you might want to explore it. David's Reasonable Faith group that meets about once a month, it explores it in a deeper depth. If you want to get real deep, we'll get you Geisler's Encyclopedia of Apologetics. Then it's a wonderful book for light reading. Put it on the coffee table. It's about, I don't know, 3 inches thick, 8.5 by 11, and a 6 font print. It has got plenty of things in it. So if you want to really dig deep, there are ways to go about doing it. Obviously, we're not going to do that here in church and in Bible class. That's for another type of class. But it's something that might give us an idea, a little better of an idea of when we hear things on the news, where's this come from? Where's the underlying principle? What is the world view that this is coming from? Because people say that, well, I don't have any particular worldview. I've ran into that before. And actually, by saying you don't have a worldview, you have a worldview. It's one of those things you can't escape. Everybody has a worldview, and out of your worldview comes how you act by faith. Because what you really believe down deep inside is how it's manifested. So if you don't believe there's a God, you're going to act accordingly. So it all goes back to what is your central focus? What really runs the system that you have in your body, soul, and spirit? What really runs that? And so we're going to take a quick look at them as we go through this class. And knowing me, I probably won't get this far through. I won't get through all of this, although it's a good undertaking to try and have a motivation to cover all this material. I'd rather cover it a little better than through it all, because this takes some thought. It takes some study on your own. Don't just leave your notes at the church or somewhere else. Take them home, go back through them, try to learn some things about these different systems of thought. And why? Because sometimes you're going to hear things on the news and you go, that don't sound right. Why? Maybe you're not an inquiring mind, but in most of us, you're going to go, why does that not sound right? And some people say, well, I don't like labels. Well, good. But if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. So if you have a label that it fits everything, why not use the label? Because you can't escape. Are you the no label person? Then you just have a established a label for yourself. Anyway, let's take a moment. Get ourselves ready. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings, your test. We thank you for the amazing word, which is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is piercing to the dividing asunder of our souls and our spirits. Father, we pray that as it judges us, we'll be able to realize that. And Father, be able to come to a better functioning Christian that honors you in all we think, say, and do. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to take a look at the world. This is a basic breakdown. It came out of the book I just showed you, Understanding the Times. It's been redone, rewritten a few times since David Noble did it back about 30, 40 years ago. But it's still one of the best simplified versions of understanding different worldviews that there is. And we're going to look at the different things they look at. He gives 10 areas here that you're going to see the issue being theology, philosophy, ethics, biology. He's going to take 10 different things, and he's going to then just give a simplified answer as to a Christian worldview. And it's termed postmodernism. Now, postmodernism is basically an atheistic type of thing. It's one of the new models that they keep bringing out. It's amazing how Satan is really good at branding things and rebranding them. Things that have been going on since the Garden of Eden, he'll take it out a new title and then sell it as a new thought, and it's really not. These things go back all the way back to the garden. Now, the first one we'll look at is theology. Theology simply means a word about God. Logos, when you see it, means a word about something. So if it's eschatology, eschatos means end. Ology means a word about it. So it means a word about end things, eschatology. And that's the way that different areas of systematic theology are broken down. So theology, basically, Christians is Trinitarian. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've been singing about Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in the music that we sang this morning. So basically, we are Trinitarian, but not multiple gods. Trinitarian, there's one God, and they're manifested in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, this new way of thinking is atheism, that there is no God. And what we see when we understand that, we're going to understand a lot of people might profess to be a Christian, but the way they act and the way they manifest themselves, they're godless in the way that they do it. They have no reverence from God. I read somewhere, in fact, I know where, Proverbs 1:7, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's a respect. It's an honor that you have it says fear. It's actually the word for fear that shows up there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We all need a healthy respect for the Almighty, because as we know, He is righteousness. So theology of Christianity is basically Trinitarian, and the rest of the world that is not Christian, you can put in this postmodern realm, and it's going to manifest itself in these different ways. The next one is philosophy. Philos is the word for wisdom. Or Sophi is actually the word for wisdom. Philos means love. So it's a love of wisdom. Now hopefully we all have a love of wisdom. When we look at it that way, what is your basic philosophy of life? To a Christian, it's faith and reason. Truly a reasonable faith. It's not a leap of faith. We're going to see that farther on down in the anti-theistic theories of thought. Existentialism is a leap of faith. Well, I'm just going to guess this is what it is, and I'm going to jump off into that realm. Now, existential means a lot more things other than that, but that's pretty well the view. But see, Christianity is about taking a step of faith. Christianity saying, let's take the evidence, examine it, as some great agnostics and atheists have done, Lee Strobel being one of them, David Limbaugh being another one, Josh McDowell being another one. They were all atheists who decided they'd read the Bible and disprove it. So if you run into an atheist, challenge them to read the Bible. That's where I'd start, because it's the Word that's alive and powerful, not you or me. So, yeah, try to get a Bible in their hand. We have a missionary that's picture is no longer on the back wall because he's gone to be with the Lord and his son has taken over. And that was his firm belief. We're going to get a Bible in the hand of everybody in this place in which he lived, which is a massive undertaking to do. But he wanted people in his churches to buy a Bible to give away. Now that was quite a deal, especially in the poor country in which he lives. Once you buy a Bible, pray about it, find a neighbor to give it to. You know, just give it as a gift. Why? Because that Bible, with you living as a Christian, you should, but that Bible is going to do its work. And I can give you story after story about people who got a Bible and they started reading it. A lot of times to refute it, and guess what happened? They got saved. Pluralism, this is the worldly philosophy. Sometimes you hear it say there are as many worlds as there are people to create them. Have you ever heard somebody that lives in their own little world? Have you lived in your own little world? So maybe if you're living in your own little world without regard for anybody else around, maybe you have fallen into the pluralistic mindset. There are as many worlds as there are people to create them. Interesting that I'm not a creator, nor are you. First two rules of all theology, there is a God, one, and number two, you're not him. So you're not a creator. He is. So see, that starts off wrong to begin with. But that is their philosophy. You can have your theories. I'll have my theories. I've run into people who are avowed atheists, and they are pluralists. And they say, you can believe anything you want to, and I'm fine with it. Okay? I'm happy with you believing anything you want. Just leave me alone, and I'll believe what I want to leave. Well, if you're a Christian, you know where that type of thinking is going to take somebody if they've never had a break and had faith in Christ. You know where that's going to take them, and it is not good. But that is the two basic ideas of philosophy. The next one is ethics. A Christian believes there are moral absolutes. Okay, whereas a postmodern unbeliever, atheist viewpoint believes in a cultural relativism. In other words, you can make anything work under a given set of circumstances. Everything is fair and legal. Is any of that going on when people are saying that it was okay that the people from Hamas came into Israel and raped the women and killed the babies and all that? And, well, they had it coming. Is there any moral absolutes there? There actually is, as a counterfeit underlying that religion that believes all of that, but they believe you have to follow a law, and if you don't follow him, then they're morally absolute on that, then you're an infidel and need to die. So they were living out their worldview and saying that those things are fine and dandy, okay, if you're not of a certain race. There's a moral relativism, and they would argue with you over that. They would say they are holding to an absolute. But ethics says there is such things that are morally true, whether you agree with them, like them or not. The works of the flesh, and morality, impurity, sensuality, these things are listed in Galatians 5. And there are things that we're not supposed to be involved in as Christians. So there are moral absolutes, and they show up as righteousness, issues of righteousness. Not self-righteousness, because we believe the Bible's the Bible, and it's the one that gives us the standard. And then, biology. Biology, a Christian worldview, believes in creationism. Okay? We believe that there's an ism on the end, which means it divides people. And indeed, it does divide people. Is there a creator or not? Some of the arguments for the existence of God. Is the universe eternal or is God eternal? Let's see. Well, somewhere along the line, they came up with a Big Bang Theory. And it's not just a 30-minute deal on Fox at 6 o'clock. Okay, they came up with this Big Bang Theory that suddenly everything came into existence. And it just happened. Even they show that there was a creation. They don't give it, attest it to any divine being or anything like that. But see, they think everything happened by chance, and there was this massive explosion. And out of this massive explosion came, we know what happens with explosions. That's why they're running this marathon this morning. We saw the results of that in the Murrah building 29 years ago. We know what happens with explosions. An explosion like that, it didn't create a set of Encyclopedia Britannicas anywhere along the line. Explosions bring chaos. They don't bring order. To bring order requires intelligence. It's the only way it can be done. It didn't happen by chance. So that's the other option. There either was a creator or there wasn't. People say, well, things are too complicated in this world today. No, they're making them complicated because that's what Satan does. In 1 Corinthians 14, he's the author of confusion, not God. He's the one that sows the confusion. Because people all over the planet realized, you know, there is a creator. People all over the planet also worship and serve the created rather than the creator. And when that is the idea, then their worldview is wrong. We find psychology. Yeah, and psychology is not a bad word, by the way. Logos means a word about, psuche is the soul. And if you're going to find out a word about the soul, you got to go to the Bible. Seems like it's got a lot to say about it. If it's piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the Bible has a lot to say about psychology. Now, psychology, Christian view, is dualism, meaning that there is a body and soul. There's a material and immaterial part of the human being. Whereas the postmodern looks and more says that everything is environmental. Have you noticed that's kind of the way that law enforcement is gone now? Well, if we could just change the environment, these people wouldn't commit all these crimes. I'd agree with them to a point. If we just enforced the law, they wouldn't commit all those crimes. Okay? There's a good way to look at it and a bad way to look at it. And if... You know, if evolution is right, we've been through the six major points of evolution multiple times, that who you are is determined by the environment you find yourself in. And really, nobody's got a chance because we're in a fallen world. That becomes a relativistic analysis of things. But environmental determinism is one of Darwin's points. How did we get here? Environmental determinism. Well, my squirrels in the backyard have adjusted to seeing me come out the back door with a long black stick. I actually got one the other day to reinforce the fact that you don't climb up onto my porch into my flower pot, even though there's nothing in them right now. Stay out of my flower pot. Okay. And they get smarter whenever they do that. But the squirrels don't turn into armadillos or possums or rabbits. That's a different grouping. Evolution has to have them change species. That doesn't happen. But the environmental determinism is supposed to be behind all of humanity's problems. Well, when you say that's the case, you take out volition. Volition makes you responsible for your decisions. And right now, just listen to the news. It's everybody else's fault. You can always figure out a narcissist real fast because it's everybody else's fault. That defines narcissism, one of the things of psychology. And people don't like to talk about such things. But a narcissist is one that's always right. Gosh, have you known any politicians that are that way? They're always right. They never make a mistake. You know any people that way? Well, that means that, I'm always right. But it's because everybody else is so stupid. Oftentimes is how that works. Psychology. What about sociology? Traditional sociology. We look back at the Tower of Babel, the dispersion into all parts of the globe, the separation of the languages that was there. Sociology basically says there needs to be a morality that goes along with a traditional view of society and how society, a word about society. Sociology is how it should be. To run a society, you have to have laws. Try to run a society on a hate your neighbor policy. You can't do it. It's not going to work. So you have to have some type of standard to do it with. But sociology to a postmodern says there's no such thing as immorality. So if there's no immorality, you can lie, cheat, steal, covet your neighbor's wife. Any of those things are perfectly fine and legitimate. How about law? We say there's a divine and a natural law. One that comes directly from God. One that comes directly from God. It's recorded in His scriptures. There's some things that they call it a natural law, but Romans 2 actually talks about it. And he says, even the Gentiles who don't have the law know the law because it's written on their hearts. There's some things that are just right and some things that are wrong. And that's the way that it's always been, and people have known it forevermore. And the only way to overcome that is to make a conscious decision to do away with it. Because it's written on the heart. But the postmodern wants to reinterpret law. Why is our court system so backed up? Because people are trying to redefine words that occur in laws. Okay? Rather than taking them in the time in which they were written for what they actually meant in order to maintain a militia. The individual shall have the right to keep and bear arms. Oh, militia, what did it mean back then? It meant you and I, people in our houses, going to be called into service right away to help defend the country. Now, that's real simple to do. What do they say today? Well, that means only the organized army. Well, if everybody's part of the organized army, much like Israel, when you reach a certain age, you're in the military. And you go in to serve, and you are trained, and you are ready to be called on the phone to show up on the battlefield. You're trained to do that. Well, people want to reinterpret the law. The next thing you know is, what does it say? The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. How hard is that to understand? Well, it depends on your definition of infringe. Depends on your definition of right to keep and bear. It's only for the military to be able to keep and bear. I've seen that happen before. It's called Russia. It's called China. It's called Nicaragua right now. And it's spreading. So what do they want to do? They want to play God. What you have is a group of people around this planet that want to be God. And they want to bring everything into a one-world government. That's not a conspiracy theory anymore. You have to be blind not to see it. It is indeed a fact. So they want to reinterpret the law and make it say what they want it to say. And now they're even taking the laws and twisting them in order to bring their political opponents to trial and tie them up. How about politics? Politics should be about justice and freedom. Shouldn't be about revenge. Revenge is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Revenge is not for us. But there is a thing called justice. And when people have been locked up in jail for 20 times and let out on the streets, and then they kill somebody, and you go, why? And the answer is they had really bad potty training when they were 3 years old? Are they brought up in a bad environment? You know, it all comes down to what decisions are we going to make. That's what it comes down to. And partiality and control. Now, that's the postmodern view. They want to control. There's so many things, right? We've got a mass of red tape right now. But Europe is ridiculous right now. And we are the land of the free by comparison. But they keep wanting to say, well, you can't, if you want to put a garden in your backyard, they haven't come here to Oklahoma yet. You know, I kept wondering, why are we the most crime-ridden state in the nation? One of the top five out of the 50. Why is Oklahoma one of the top five out of the 50 of crime? It's because it gets reported here. And it gets convicted here to a greater degree. What happens if somebody comes in, you don't even charge them, and they beat somebody up, stolen their car? It doesn't get reported in the crime statistics. I finally started figuring out, that's how they do it. How do they say some of these states that we know are dangerous to even drive through, why are some of these states so crime-free? We need to decriminalize. You have to be careful. Some things they should, other things they should not. How about economics? To a Christian, it's about stewardship. To a postmodern, it's interventionism. They want to intervene and run it. They want to run the Federal Reserve. They want to run, they want to control your money. We are dealing currently with a country that decided that they would put everything into a central bank. How long have they been fighting that battle? Since Jefferson. Trying to put everything in the United States into a central bank. They did. They succeeded in doing that in this country, and they control everything that comes in and goes out. Everything. And they do it under the guise of, we're going to protect you from all the bad guys. But they're the bad guys in the process. Interventionism. They want to run it. They want to control it. They want the power. They don't want you to have it. And history. Our history starts with creation. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was on the surface of the deep. That's how it starts. We have creation, and we have the fall of man in Genesis 3. Yeah, that's where we believe history started. Postmodernism wants to rewrite it. They want to take the things that have been written down and turn it around and put a twist on it. And, sadly, that's how a lot of things get redone in some of our colleges and universities and high schools and everything else. They want to know, how can you take and twist history? History's real, and a lot of it is not good. Quite honestly, a lot of it in this country is not good. But the principles on which this country was founded on, those are pretty good. So what do? You do away with the principles it was founded on and rewrite those? Or do you hold to the principles and seek to get conformity to them? Not in a totalitarian level, because conformity to those things don't provide totalitarianism. And rewriting, not a good idea. The principle is that an overcomer believes and lives the Christian worldview. Okay? An overcomer believes and lives a Christian worldview. That there's a Father, Son, and Spirit. Okay? That He wants us to take a step of faith based on the evidence, use our reasoning faculties to do it, realize there are moral absolutes because there's a perfect God. So when he says something, he can say it perfectly. Realize that there is a creator. Recognize that there are more parts to our being than just simply some type of animated monkey that has come along on the evolutionary scale. That we are body, soul, body, and spirit. have a traditional sociology that, yeah, you're free to do all kinds of things except, and people not trying to run every element of our being. It's not working real well, if you've noticed that anymore. They have all these things. Now they're going to they've changed the EPA requirements. They've shut down where you can drill for oil, things that can actually be used by a society. Anyway, an overcomer believes and lives these things. We believe there's a divine law. There are beliefs, some things that are very clear. We believe in justice. We believe in freedom. We believe in stewardship. God gives you something, take care of it. And we believe in history, the way God laid it out. History is actually His story. And history includes the death of the Son of God on a cross in our place. Historical fact, not mythology. An overcomer identifies the enemy's counterfeits and rejects them. So if we want to overcome the evil in our present age, we need to know the counterfeits. Now, we don't need to spend all our time studying the counterfeits. What we need to do is spend all our time studying the real deal. And then when the counterfeits come along, we might be able to say that something doesn't fit right. We don't have a title for it, but we're able to say, I need to avoid that. And I need to steer clear of it. So to identify the counterfeits, though, says that we are learning to be a righteous individual. Be ye holy as He is holy. That's written to believers. We get sanctified, we get set apart, an ultimate sanctification whenever we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We become saved. But then it's a holiness process called sanctification. Usually they call it justification when you believe in Christ, sanctification, which is the Christian life. And then we go into eternity and we don't have to worry about it anymore. Now, the first of the world systems of, and if it's anti-theistic, anti-God, it's evil. Okay? So these are systems of thought that you might hear thrown around from time to time. And depending on what television station you're listening to, they're going to be presented as good. The television shows, even now more and more, a lot of the stars on the shows poo-poo believing in God. Shows that seem to be good on Law and Order and all those other kinds of things, but gosh, when the people that are carrying this all out are declared atheist, there's a problem there. The first one we're going to look at is atheism. And it says there's no God, at least in nihilism, which is a lack of belief in anything. Now, I ran into a person one time, and he said, well, I just don't believe in anything. And I said, oh, really? So you actually believe there's nothing worth believing in? Okay. You believe that that's true. Whether you like it or not, you believe that there's nothing worth believing in. That's a faith system. Everybody has a faith system, and you cannot escape it. Hedonism flows out of this, which is the love of pleasure. Now, see, do we have fame, fortune, power, and pleasure? Fame is the narcissist. Okay? They want to run everything. They want to be in charge of everything. Fortune. Oh, there's people that love money, clearly love money. A lot of them have been to Harvard Business School, where they've taught them how to love money. Power. What if you had gazillions of billions of dollars and you just got tired of all those things, kind of like Solomon did? Bring me the apes and the peacocks and bring me all the gold and bring me all this. What do you want to do? You want to run things. That's what we find with a lot of the super rich of the last days. Did that go unnoticed before God? No, He wrote about it in James chapter 5. The super rich of the last days. It was prophesied that they would rise up. Hedonism loves pleasure. And it's an outgrowth of this. That is the playboy mentality. The playboy mentality started writing, and Hugh Hefner began to write the playboy philosophy. Well, it's a philosophy of hedonism. And it's all about primarily the man being a pleasure seeker. And that's all he was supposed to be. And that the playboy philosophy, the real ultimate playboy, was one who sought nothing but pleasure all the time. Now, it turns out that he sought a little bit of money along with that, a little bit of fame along with that. And when you start trying to influence congressmen, power as well. 1 Corinthians 15:32, Paul says, "If from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die." If there's nothing beyond this life, there's no accountability, there's no judgment, no nothing like that beyond this life. Atheism says there is no God, so as a result, they don't believe there's anything beyond this life. Death is non-existence. So, why bother? Is a question they ask. And they come up with, well, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's the only worldview that they can actually live by. Hugh Hefner knows the truth now. Okay, so he's found out that what he did in leading so many people astray was not good. Then we have agnosticism. It answers the question, does God exist? And it answers with, I don't know. Now, see, it still functions on faith. Some of them say God is what you make him to be. Some believe free will becomes their God. They're not bound by any rules. They're just by their ability to be freely make decisions. And then anarchy exists when this happens. So out of this, frequently existentialism flows from that. Romans 1:20 says, "Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen." Here's a call in Scripture. I love this passage. It says, being understood through what he has made. See, when you have a design, you have to have a designer. There's no way out around it. It's common sense thinking. Where there's a design, there is a designer. And he says, being understood through what has been made so that that they are without excuse. What about the pagan? What about the people in New Guinea that have never heard of God? What about those people? He says, what the Creator has made has pointed them to the fact that there is a Creator. They don't have an excuse. Now, you put this together with some other passages, and it seems clear that if a person goes, somebody made all this, and I'd like to know them, that God's going to get them the gospel. And I know for a fact he's got them the gospel in some of the remotest parts of the earth. But if they looked at everything been made and didn't want anything to do with the Creator, he doesn't have to get them the gospel. But if they want to know him because he wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, he get them the gospel. So where do you get all these missionaries that go out into these never-never lands and all these various places like that? Well, somebody's looking out there. You might not know who they are, but somebody's looking. Adoniram Judson went into Burma. When he went in there, you know, he was just well received. The crowds just flocked to him. And actually, that's not what happened. 7 years before a convert. He went in to learn their languages, learn how to speak to them. And he went in 7 years before one convert. But now his fruit still remains because there are believers running all through that country right now. And by the way, they're under incredible pressure. They are moving in to take all the young men of military age. They will wrench them out of their parents' hands. They will take them with them. Oftentimes they'll take younger kids than that. And they will take them with them, make them serve them, work the fields, do a little bit of everything. But Burma is a bad place right now. A really bad place. And who are they after? They're after all the young men, but Christians frequently get killed along the way. Along the way. Persecution. What have they seen? They've seen the Creator at work. They want to know Him, and God says, I'll get somebody to Him. Hudson Taylor went into China. He had about as much success as Adoniram Judson. And he decided he was going to look like a Chinese. Instead of trying to convert them and put them in British clothes, American clothes, instead of trying to convert them and change their clothing and all that, he changed his. Does that sound Christ-like? Didn't Christ have all the royal robes seated at the right hand of the Father? Didn't he change his clothes when he came down here? So, Hudson Taylor took a gospel out, walked from village to village, learned their languages, and it took a while before anybody converted. But there is a man who was truly a disciple of Jesus Christ. Agnosticism says, does God exist? Says, I really don't know. And they move on from there, but they function as though he didn't exist. Very few of them say, well, I don't know if he exists or not. And then they don't have any functions that indicates that he does. How about evolution? This is the world system of thought. People say it's a science. No, it's religion. Evolution is a religion. And you know what's interesting thing about evolution is that it's been around for a long, long time. And I believe the devil was the first evolutionist, because he said, I will be like the Most High. He knew he wasn't, and he had to go upward in order to get there. It believes that things keep improving through adaptation to the environment of the fittest. 2 Peter 3:3-4 refers to it. Know this first of all, in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues as it was from the beginning of creation. They believe that things just move so very slowly. I mean, they evolve so slowly that it's an imperceptible thing. I found it kind of like climate change. What happened with climate change? All these intelligent monkeys weren't taking care of the planet. So what's the planet doing? The planet is falling apart. We're talking before church. We need a spiritual climate change is what we need. We need to stop worrying about all the natural gas and everything else and the cows and their bovine nature to expel gas. We need to stop worrying about all that sort of stuff. We need a spiritual climate change. We need to take the gospel out to people and show them once again and stand firm for the fact there's a Creator. All continues as it was from the beginning of creation. Now, atheistic evolution, or theistic evolution, actually, says God caused it. They go into Genesis 1. They put additional time in there. And say, well, God, it's evolution, but God caused the evolution. Why? That's not what it says, is it? He made all the swarming things. He made the birds in the sky. He made them with distinction. That's what it describes. He made them with distinction. Now, do animals adapt? Yeah, my squirrels in the backyard. They adapt to danger. Animals adapt, but they don't change to another species. There's no biological mechanism, if you will, that anybody's ever been able to come up with or postulate that lets an animal change from one species to another species. Doesn't happen. So you don't have to worry about the bear changing into a mountain lion. Different species. It's just not going to happen. Atheistic evolution says nothing caused it. It just happened. It's kind of like suddenly forever there wasn't anything, and then suddenly there was. Forever there was no design. Suddenly there was. There are things that arguments that people make that make no sense whatsoever. If you think it just happened, and you say, well, there's not enough time in the world. If you give one chance per second and you take your 15 billion years of your idea of Earth's history, there's still not enough time for one of these accidental things to have happened. That's why they keep trying to make things longer and longer and longer, to give it more time for chance to occur. Now, materialism grows out of this, because if matter is eternal, why not worship the thing, the created? Because it bases its philosophy on matter being eternal and the first cause of everything. Now, then there is polytheism. Polytheism, poly means many, and theism means gods. And it claims there are many gods with attributes and functions that spread out. Deuteronomy 6:4 contradicts that. Listen, O Israel, Shema is the word hear. Hear, O Israel. Lord our God, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Not many gods, there's one. And I think what happened is, it'd be a good doctoral thesis for somebody, I would think, to take the attributes of God and then start looking, especially at the Hindus, who have 250 million of them now, look at the chief gods that they have, and take the titles of God, God's name, and I think you can connect the dots to the gods of the Hindus. El Shaddai means the many-breasted God. What? They translated God Almighty because when it came into English, they didn't know what to do with it. Okay? The great God of many breasts. El is omnipotent God. Shaddai is many-breasted one. And what does it mean? It means he is a God of blessing. Okay? That's what it means. But El Shaddai, many-breasted. You know what the Hindus did? They have a God with many breasts, covering this creature's, this idol, is a God with many breasts. And I think they were all counterfeits. I think they took things of what was given to the Jews to carry out. They took the different elements. They got into different languages. And the next thing you know, in the melting pot of India, you have the Hindus, and they've got a God for every attribute of the God that we know. I think it all started as a counterfeit and then took on a life of its own. It's polytheism. How about idealism that says everything is getting better? Needless to say, that's kind of died lately. Hebrews 1:10-12 is a refutation of that. It says everything is getting better. If you believe in evolution, everything needs to get better. There's a guy named Velikovsky. He was a lot of fun to read, and I read, I don't know, 6 or 8 of his books. Wrote a brilliant book on the Genesis flood that proved a worldwide, global, universal Genesis flood as well as anybody I've seen. He went through the documentation on different continents, et cetera, et cetera. He got to the last chapter and decided that evolution happened by catastrophe. So it didn't happen with a slow, gradual thing. It was a slow, gradual thing, and then there was a catastrophe which bounced up the evolution into a different level. And so he developed it called catastrophic evolution. And I just was loving the book. I said, this is a good book and all that. And I got the last chapter, and I go, I don't believe you did this. Why would you bother to do this? Hebrews 1:10, and you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth. This is the writer of Hebrews, authenticated by the prophets, included in the canon. And the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they'll all become old like a garment, like a mantle. You'll roll them up like a garment. They'll be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. Everything's getting better. That's not what it says. Things are going to fall apart, is what the Scripture says. And we're watching that happen now. Then there is the representational realism. It says that everything that's in existence is made of material. So if it can't be perceived through the five senses, then it doesn't exist. They would say there's no true immaterial part of man, like the soul. See, where the Christian is body, soul, material, immaterial. This group would say, well, there's no real immaterial part of man. It's initially done by Aristotle, picked up by Bertrand Russell, Spinoza, Descartes, and John Locke. It's a very relativistic approach that varies based on definitions of the defining words. Just another way to cloud the truth of God. They say, so if you can't perceive it through the five senses, it doesn't exist. So how are you going to perceive God through the five senses? Well, I can't see him, so can't smell him. Can't hear him. Maybe sometimes. Okay. The five senses, so if it does, if you can't confirm it through the five senses, it doesn't exist. Now you've got a lot of the neuroscientists that are actually trying to connect the soul into the body and trying to say it's just another physical part of man that they haven't been able to identify because they don't want to give anybody volition in the process. How about pantheism? Says that God and the universe, including nature, are identical. And thus, nature is deserving of the deepest reverence. Worship nature under pantheism. All is God. God is all. This is held to by most of the world religions who equate the created with the creator. They do is say, well, it's all God. You know, everything is, well, no, he's everywhere, but he's not everything because he made the things to be different from him. Now, is he in all and through all? And does he want to be in all? Yeah. But he has set different things up. He set his system up in a different way. Romans 1:25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who's blessed forever, Paul says, and adds an amen on the end of that. So there's pantheism. Okay? And God is everything. So have you found out, you know, I guess dogs are people too. I guess you've heard that. You know, cats are people too. A lot of people would argue either one of those. They're not people. They're animals. Made separate, made distinct. That's the way that God made them. Can we love them? Can we appreciate them? All that? Fine, yes. But they are different. Do they have souls? And answer that according to scriptures, yes. Animals have a soul, but it's not a soul that can be redeemed. See, there are differences that are to be found there, dividing a soul and spirit. Pantheism. Deism, this is a good one, says that God created everything perfect. Well, I think when God creates something, it's perfect. That's what I think. But at the fall of man, ceased to have anything to do with his creation. Now, if God didn't want anything to do with his creation, then this is what they put our founding fathers off, and they say that they were all deists. And they believe that, yeah, whenever they, when man fell, God disavowed himself from him, took himself out of the picture, left it to poor, stupid humanity to try and make the best of it. And by doing that, you say there's no need for faith or organized religion. But if you look at the founding fathers, they all saw the value of faith, and they all saw the value of organized religion. They just didn't want organized religion running the government. This position recognizes righteousness and justice, but it doesn't recognize grace. And it became prominent in the 17th, 18th centuries in the United Kingdom, France, United States, and Ireland. It became a prominent position. And that's deism. And as I said, I can't get through all of this today. But these are, you're going to have to read them. You're going to have to look at them. Do some more study on your own and find out more about them. But what happens is, hopefully you could start seeing, when evil starts to rear its head, because evil is going to change vocabulary. It's going to change presentation. That's what it's going to do. You'll be able to recognize it and not get sucked into it. And it's important in the last days, because it tells us in the last days that people are going to start following the wrong God. That's what they're going to do. And believers even can be led astray. In the last days, most people's love will grow cold. It indeed will. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this day, for your mercy, love, and grace. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your test. Thank you for the privilege of just being able to take a look at who you are and to see all of the opposition to you. Let us be able to identify it more clearly. And more importantly, let us be able to stay away from it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.